Hello, and welcome to Only Lovers Book Club. We are usually three Latinx besties reading romance, but today we're coming at you with a bonus episode to talk about an extra romance book that we read and wanted to talk about. And today I have with me, for the first time I think on camera, the fourth unofficial lover of Only Lovers in the library, Amanda, my sister.
Hello.
So usually Amanda is reading along with us and she helps me do the quality control. I ask her to watch or listen to the episodes and tell me what parts are funny. Has been one of my biggest supporters, one of our biggest supporters, like emotionally, creatively since the very beginning. And so I thought it was high time that she got on camera and talk about a book. We decided to do it for The Duke Gets Desperate by Diana Quincy. I had read this previously. I got this book from Avon, and Amanda read this book for Read Palestine Week. And so I thought it would be cool to talk about it, not only to kind of like, you know, bring more awareness of this book because it is so, so good, but also to talk about a Palestinian author on here and just kind of discuss one of their works. Amanda, why don't you, I'm going to turn it over to you. Let us know how you're doing this morning and what your background is, and then we'll talk a little bit about the book proper.
Good morning. I'm excited to be here. My first official video with Only Lovers. I'm feeling a little tired, but I'm feeling ready. I feel good. I had some coffee. I've got an Uncrustable right next to me, ready to go in a few. And I am sitting in my bedroom with the background, a Google background of a fancy apartment with beautiful pink lighting and nice furniture. And I'm wearing a tan Kehlani sweatshirt.
That apartment in your background reminds me of like Tashai's real life apartment. Listeners and watchers, like her apartment is one of those. It's very pretty. So my background is also just like a generic Google background. It is a cozy Christmas by the fire. there's a Christmas tree and a fireplace, and I'm just wearing a fuzzy green jacket. And yeah, it's just cozy vibes here this morning. So let's hear a little bit about what the book is about. We'll talk about who the author is, and then we'll just kind of start talking about it. We'll start going for it.
Okay, The Duke Gets Desperate. Anthony Carey, Duke of Strickland, inherits his spendthrift father's title and can finally restore the family castle to its former glory. But at the reading of the will, Strick is stunned to learn that his father has secretly disentailed him, leaving the family manor home to 12 generations of dukes to Strick's American stepmother. Everyone knows Strick detests the Dowager Duchess, and when she dies mysteriously, damning rumors start to surface. When Raya Darwish unexpectedly inherits her glamorous late cousin's castle in the English countryside, she clashes with a charismatic young duke who insists the castle is rightfully his. The estate is practically bankrupt, so she must find a way to work with the Duke in order to save both of their futures. The two cannot stand each other, but mutual disdain soon gives way to desire. When questions arise about how her cousin died, Raya cannot help wondering if Strick's sudden, unbridled passion for her is part of a scheme to get his castle back. I read that.
I read that. It's so funny. I'm reading from the paperback, and there's a couple of words that they switch out. So everyone knows that Strick, yours description said detests, and mine says despises. And then at the end, it says the two detest each other instead of despise each other. So it's funny. It's different, like different hate verbs. Okay, so let me read to you a little bit about the author. I'm just going to read straight off the paperback copy. Best-selling author Diana Quincy is a former television journalist who decided she'd rather make up stories where a happy ending is always guaranteed. Diana grew up all over the world as a daughter of a United States Foreign Service officer. Since her 2013 debut, Diana's books have landed on the annual best of lists in Library Journal, Kirkus Reviews, and the Washington Post. Diana is now happily settled in Virginia with her family, but still gets the itch to explore far-off places. When she's not bent over her laptop, Diana reads, practices yoga, and plots her next travel adventure. You can find her at dianaquincy.com, on Facebook, Diana Quincy Romance, and on Twitter or X as Diana_Quincy.
Dear listeners and watchers, this is your spoiler warning. We will be discussing major plot points of The Duke Gets Desperate, so if you don't want to be spoiled for any of them, make sure to go get a copy of the book, read it, and then come back to listen to our discussion. You've been warned.
What made you pick up this book? Why did you decide to read this one? I had read this prior, and I thought it was really good. I remember reading it, and Juan, who is Amanda's partner, was hanging out around me, and I'm like, please stop talking to me. I'm trying to read.
Well, I think part of my curiosity about the book was how interested you were in the book. I do remember those moments where you would just be reading the book and wanted nothing to do with people interrupting you. But I think when I helped you film a video for your Instagram, and I had to hold the book up. And I think after holding it up, I remembered, like, oh, I think I had been curious about this book. And I picked it up, I read the description and was like, ooh, and looked it up on Libby. They had it available, so it was meant to be.
And you listened to the audiobook of this, right?
I did listen to the audiobook, yes.
I cannot listen to romance on audiobook. I can't do it. It's too cringy. And like, knowing the scenes that are in this book, I don't know how you did it. You're stronger than I am in so many ways, because there's some really spicy scenes in this. And I'm just like, how did you sit there and listen to someone read you how like he licks her titties? You know, like, I'm just.
I'm a strong soldier.
So like, what did you, you read it. And so what did you think of it? Like, did it meet your expectations? You know, what'd you think? How did you like it?
I really enjoyed it overall. I didn't know what to expect going into it. I imagined that, of course, there would come a point where the two people that don't like each other, you know, fall in love with each other. But I love that there were so many different stories happening all at once. It wasn't just the romance. It was the situation going on with the estate. It was what Raya had been through with her family and trying to be her own, you know, businesswoman. It was all of the drama with like the cook of the house and then the cousin who passed away mysteriously. There was a lot happening that added to the story. So it wasn't just their romance, which I really enjoyed. And something that I really liked and I wanted to ask you about was their undeniable attraction to each other very early on. I thought that it would take longer for them to acknowledge that they found each other very attractive. But I did like that right from the get-go, they knew they were attracted to each other. They didn't know what to do with that, but they knew. I like that. Overall, I really enjoyed it.
No, for sure. They absolutely had the hots for each other as soon as they saw each other. But I think that's the whole appeal of like enemies to lovers, where that hate is so strong that it comes from such a passionate place that that there's something there, and it just kind of fuels it. And then, you know, of course they're like, wow, I hate you, but you're hot, but I hate you, don't look at me like that, you know. So it didn't really surprise me. It's really common for the romantic heroes to be attracted to each other. How long it takes for them to say it to each other is what generally I find varies in the books. I feel like they went for a long time denying their true feelings about each other before it kind of spilled over, or before, you know, she ends up like in his bed, you know, drunk or whatever. she's not really drunk. She just is so tired. She just kind of falls asleep there. And then they're forced into this whole marriage situation because, you know, they have to save her honor, I guess. My question, because you talked a little bit about, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on. What did you feel like you enjoyed the most? Did you like, was it the romance part of it? Was it the spicy part of it? Was it the murder mystery part of it? I don't know if it's fair to call it a murder mystery, but I read it as a murder mystery because she's going around this castle asking people questions. She's like interrogating people. And she's trying to figure out what happened to her cousin. So I wonder, what was your favorite part of this? There's also, I feel like there's also an element of HGTV in this. Like, there's like renovations happening. There's like a flip it kind of do you know what I mean? There's a flipping aspect to it. Like, oh, we need to like turn this place around. There was a lot going on. So what did you like best?
I think what I enjoyed best, if I'm ranking, top for me would be the way that eventually he just kind of grew into supporting her in the fullest extent possible, supporting her in her desire to be a businesswoman and respecting that as well. I think next would be their romance, because I did find that it took them a while to kind of admit their feelings for each other, but when they did, I did find that their romance was genuine. And I think third would definitely be the murder mystery. As soon as I found out that the cousin died mysteriously, she had a fall, I thought to myself, that is sketch. So I kind of spent the story, you know, whenever a new character would come up and they would be asked about what happened, I would be thinking to myself, like, did they have a part in what happened? So I did enjoy that murder mystery part of it.
Like, how did you feel about him from the beginning of the book? It took me forever to warm up to him as someone who was even remotely like worthy of her. I really like Rhea's character. She is very cool, very resourceful, very tenacious, you know, like a plucky protagonist, you know, like, you know, how we say it for the Only Lovers Awards. Even though she wasn't of the same, I guess, like social standing or economic standing as the Duke, I found her to be like just leaps and bounds, just a better person overall. And I don't know if that was like just me always rooting for the heroine and or me just hating rich people. So I wasn't sure if that was it. But did you, because it took me a while, and even when they kind of like come together, I still had my reservations about it. Like, I was not ever fully on board. I was always like, Ray, you can do better, you know? Un fucking odioso. I just couldn't handle it. Were you on board with him being, with her being on, I don't know, were you on board?
I think I had a similar reaction to him as you, Chris, because from the beginning, when he first meets her, he just cannot believe that somebody had no idea that they were about to inherit this. And rather than work together or even try to like maybe con her out of accepting the castle, like, he probably could have worked up some charm. He could have made some stuff up to make her believe that inheriting the castle would be a terrible idea. Like, he really could have upped, like, you know, it's falling apart. Oh, you know, I'm so glad it's out of my hands. He could have done so much. But from the get-go, he was just so angry and entitled. And it was because she brought it up to him that, hey, your castle's falling apart, you actually need me. That's when he kind of started to change his tune. So I think I would have liked him more if it came from him, like if he had the realization that she was actually knew a lot of what she was talking about and that they could work on this together. It would have been cool if it came from him, but I understand that maybe for like the drama that it didn't. But I also didn't really like him in the beginning. I think I started to like him a little bit more, and then he starts keeping secrets. And then I went back. Then I went back to how I was feeling in the beginning.
Exactly. That's how I felt too. I said, you know what? I gave you a chance and you betrayed me. Like, I mean, and obviously, right, the plot needs to happen. And so I think that the reason he is keeping secrets is like a noble one. You know, I don't think that he's keeping secrets up maliciously, but I was like, this is fucked up and you should tell her. You know what I mean? It felt icky because he was such a bitch at the beginning of the book. Like, really, that's all it was. I understand like wanting to keep a secret. it's already a stressful situation. You don't want to add more stress. But as soon as he started lying, I went, ah, I knew it. Get out of there. It's okay. I mean, obviously, I was happy to see them end up together, but pissed me off.
For those of you listening, if you don't know what the secret is, it turns out that he finds out that Rhea actually isn't the one who has inherited the castle after all, or the estate. Is it a castle or an estate?
I think it's the castle. The because he owns other parts of the estate. Mm-hmm. It's the castle proper that, you know, he's got to fucking stick up his ass about owning.
Yes. So he finds out that she actually is not the rightful owner of
anything. She never has. She never was.
Mm-hmm. And he is so into her and he is so on board for them to have this marriage that he keeps it from her. And meanwhile, anything that she finds out that is, you know, remotely, you know, bad about him, she will come to him immediately. And so it's just that really big contrast of she runs to him with anything and he thinks he's protecting her by not saying anything, but he's making her out to be a fool. And she picks up on it. She's not a fool.
She's not a fool. She picks up on the fact that he is not telling her something. And I just love her so much. She's like, why keep a secret, man? I'm here. I'm like your ride or die. And he is in his own way riding and dying, but like not in a cool way. You gotta be cool, man. That's the secret. And I don't even want to say that's like the biggest secret in the book. I think the biggest secret in the book is what happened to the cousin. And that was also one of the reasons why I had a hard time liking the Duke, because he talked mad shit about that cousin. And she was not a perfect person. To be fair, he talked equally mad shit about his father. But I didn't like it. And if Diana Quincy's, you know, goal was to make it a hard love interest for me to like, she succeeded. And I want to say that that's not even the biggest mystery that's going on in the book. The biggest mystery is what happened to Rhea's cousin, and how she, you know, came to mysteriously fall down this like random abandoned part of the castle that she would probably never in her right mind actually go to. So how did you feel about like the resolution to that when we find out what actually happened to Rhea's cousin? You know, were you like, I knew it? Or were you completely caught off guard? You know, I know we watch a lot of murder mysteries. We watch a lot of Murder, She Wrote.
I had a very strong aha, I knew it moment when we realize who the person responsible is. And for a moment though, I did think that it was somebody else. So when we finally do find out who it was, I was like, oh, I was so sure, but then you made me doubt. Whenever Rhea would interact with the cook, there was just something about her that gave me this air that she was like way more entitled than she should be. And when they talked about how she would kind of run these tours throughout the castle and she would pocket the money, I thought, oh, she's got way too much access to this castle. When things were going missing, I was like, again, who knows this castle better than her? Anytime Rhea would try to just even mention any kind of change or any kind of opportunity to bring in money for the castle, it was almost as if like she felt like she was the owner of the castle. So she had motive and I could smell it. Smell that motive.
Okay, so you're better than me because I thought it was the painter forever. I thought it was the painter page one. I said, he did it. He absolutely has something to do with it. And I think he was like a shady character, but I think that, yeah, I definitely fell for the red herring. So I had it backwards. I thought that I'm like, oh, they're trying to make me think that it's this lady, but I know that it's the painter. And then, oh, the end of the book. I was like, oh, whoops. Well, you know, my bad.
She would talk to her like if she had, I don't know much about class and all of this from that era, but I do know that she was not fearful of losing her job. She talked to her in a way that I was like, oh, you are very confident. You are not scared. You are not worried. Why? I'm curious about what you thought of their sexy scenes. We had a bit of a slow burn for them to get going, but what did you think of them? I heard them. What did you think of them when you read them?
Oh, I thought they were very good. Very effective sexy scenes. He's obviously has to respect her virginity, and so they do pretty much just about everything but fuck before they like are married. And they find ways to do every single thing every which way. So he is the kind, he's like a talker. And so he's like, oh, you like that? You like it when I do this to you? And she's like, yes. So it was a very fun dynamic to read. I would have perished if I had to listen to them say it. You know me, like I'm reading the book and I take a break, you know, I'm like, wow, that was a scene. And then I put the book down, I do a lap around the couch and I come back and I sit back down. And I feel like if it's audio, I just can't escape the cringe. I mean, I think it's hot, but I just think that I'm able to enjoy it like externally a little bit better if I'm reading it rather than listening to it. However, I mean, I have listened to other romances before. I've just like gripped the steering wheel really hard and pushed through it. So, but yes, reading it, very effective stuff. I definitely felt that fiery heat between them of like, I hate that I like you so much. And then eventually it was like, wow, I fucking love fucking you. You know, it was that heat never dissipated. It just took on like a different flavor as their relationship progressed, as like two people who like were reluctantly hot for each other and then liked each other and then were in love with each other. The heat was high at all points, just like stove on 10 for all of the scenes. What about you? I mean, you listened to it, you know?
So I listened to the audiobook, and there definitely were moments where I would just kind of be listening to the audiobook. I'd feel myself blush and I would just kind of sit there like, oh gosh. But I did enjoy getting to listen to two adults who, like you said, it started off as just this like fiery attraction and passion for each other, and then how it just kind of morphed into a love for each other and a love for being intimate with each other. So even though sometimes it was like, oh gosh, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed, you know, knowing that these two characters were so into each other. And I also like the fact that they, at least for Raya, I got the feeling that for her, you know, their virginity was not really a concern for her. And I like that it wasn't really dragged out. Like, I like that it wasn't that he was also like, no, we know we can't, you know, he was like respecting that boundary. But once he got the okay from her, he was like, let's go. So I did like that. I like that it wasn't such a huge deal. You know, we did have the initial drama where, you know, she fell asleep in his bed and everybody said, oh, you know, because of the honor, you know, you have to marry her. And I think that he kind of played into that more just because he was kind of like down to marry her, you know. But I don't think that for him or for her, that was, you know, this idea of virginity was really a concern for them. So I like to listen to them explore each other and be happy. I like that.
This isn't sexy at all, but what did you think of the grandma character? Or was that her grandma, her aunt? I'm not sure, but there's another character here who it kind of like fills the role of the like her elder who is like traveling with her and is, you know, speaking to her in Arabic and, you know, talking shit in Arabic to pretends. I don't know if she was pretending she couldn't speak English just to like mess with the people, or if she couldn't speak English that well, but I thought she was really funny. And I was kind of sad that she kind of disappeared halfway through the book. Like, I felt like I didn't see a lot of her on the page. And she, you know, she's got that, the, you know, the Yenta vibes, you know, the Sophia Petrillo. She's an old lady with a smart mouth, and she's going to say what she thinks, and she's going to advise Raya and all of the things of being, you know, a wife and a mother. And even if Raya doesn't like what she's hearing. So I did like that character a lot. I feel like she was really present at the beginning. She gets sick, and that's kind of like one of the reasons why they end up staying. for longer than they want to, right? It's always somebody gets sick. And then in the middle of the book, she's kind of gone. At the end of the book, she comes back. And I think that there were more opportunities for hijinks, especially for the murder mystery part of it, if she'd been included. But I mean, I'm not going to tell Diana Quincy how to write her books. I'm just saying I wish that character had been there a little bit more. What do you think?
I really liked this character. I think this was her auntie. And from the beginning, I agree. I do think that she definitely knew more than she ever let on to other people. I just imagine her as this really, like, you know, fancy, beautiful woman who was like, either had like experienced a soft life before, but definitely knew how to kind of like manipulate people into doing what she wanted, but have them think that it's, you know, what they wanted to do. So I do think that she picked up on their attraction for each other early on. And just even her kind of like pushing for them to get married, I think she also played into like, hey, this is my opportunity to kind of get them together. I do think she was wiser beyond what, you know, the people in the castle ever believed, like the cook and, you know, the other people that worked in the castle. I think they thought of her as somebody who like didn't know the language and wasn't very cultured and most likely was more cultured than like anybody there. So I really liked her. I agree. I wish I would have also seen a bit more of her, but I enjoyed having her be a part of Raya's life and giving her advice, because she didn't have her brother, she didn't have her parents, but she did have this, you know, elder family member to support her and give her advice. I really enjoyed that. And this also kind of leads me into all of the discussions they had about their food, like the delicious Arabic food that they talked about in the book. I tried to go back and find the name of some of the dishes that they talked about. I loved how the author like described these dishes. It made me like, when you're listening to it, it made me very hungry, and it just made me really curious and wanting to like seek out these foods and try them because they just sounded so delicious.
So here's the thing. I mean, it's not like it's not on my radar, but I don't know much about Arab culture. And I don't know much about Palestinian culture or Palestinian food. A lot of what I've learned because of like the conflict that's happening right now with the genocide that's occurring, and just by reading books. That's why I also picked this, because I wanted to read something, you know, with a happy ending, even though like real life isn't, you know, it's not the case at all right now. I thought it was important not only to support, you know, nonfiction authors explaining what's going on, but also to support fiction authors who, you know, can visualize or envision a different reality, and also, I don't know, give us something to hope for.
I think part of the reason that I chose this book to start off my reading journey is because it was a fiction book, and it did kind of provide, you know, romance and a happy ending. So this was like a starter for me. But this has opened the door for me to not only be really interested and curious about supporting Palestinian restaurants and businesses here in the Bay Area, but to keep on reading and reading the nonfiction books and continuing to seek out podcasts and videos that can educate me more a little bit about, you know, what's going on. I think this book was kind of a gateway for me to just kind of continue to dive in and learn. So I'm glad I picked it.
And it's one of those things where you read it and you see how it can be so good. And then, you know, you see what's going on and you pick up that phone and you just call your representatives and be like, yo, ceasefire now. And that's, I still feel that way. And hopefully you do as well. You don't have to read romance books in order to feel that way. You could just kind of see what's going on and just take a moment of your time to send a fax, send an email, sign a petition, and make those calls if you're not able to be like hit the streets. And if you don't have time to read, you got time to do a phone call. Just a quick little, takes less than 5 minutes.
A phone call, and also just even continuing to share content.
Yeah. Not letting it kind of like fade away. Mm-hmm. There are other videos of booktubers discussing this book. Check them out. And also, this is apparently going to be a series, Sirens in Silk. I'm excited to see where else the series goes, what other hijinks are going to happen. I'm really glad that I've read this book. I'm always looking for other authors to support, especially in romance. I want to read as diversely as I can, not just for the sake of diversity, but, you know, because there is really something out here for everybody, and there's multiple voices, multiple experiences, and I'm really happy that I got to learn about Diana Quincy. So again, just a big thank you to Avon Books for sending me this copy. We got to read it and we got to discuss it. So it's nice.
Yay! I will say that to kind of wrap up the ending of the story, we do find out who was responsible for, you know, the murder of Raya's cousin. And we also find out that the Duke has, if I'm remembering correctly, he kind of like signed this contract or made this legal thing happen to where she was kind of like in full control of the enterprise that they set up together, that she really was the mastermind behind. And that kind of being, he knew that she might end up leaving and going back to her family, but he wanted to kind of give her this parting gift of, you know, hey, I'm not here trying to hold you back and make you stay here. I would love for you to stay here, but I want to make sure that you leave with what you most desire, which is having something that is yours. You own this. You are the mastermind behind this. And that for me was like the most romantic thing. I was like, oh my gosh, over the moon about that. I really liked that. I thought that was very, she definitely deserved it, but it was really nice to see that it wasn't just him like, oh, I can't live without you. I don't know what I'll do. It was like, hey, I love you. Also, here you go. Here's the business. You deserve it.
Oh no, by the end of the book, he is fully whipped. He is like, absolutely.
Yes.
He is. I want to say he is like, I don't want to live without you. But I think he understands that that's not what she wants to hear. That's mm-hmm. not the way that she wants to be loved. I think that the entire time, you know, she's really trying to show that she can do it on her own, that she's got the sense and the savvy to really make a business thrive. And that's how she was treating this like castle, this dukedom, as like a business. And it was working.
I think I wrote down a quote from the book and I'll read it to you in his accent.
Please do. Oh, it's an accent.
I'll read it to you. This I wrote it down because I just found it to be so. But he said to her, "The business is yours and always will be. No one can take this from you, not even your brother."
Swoon. Thank you for that artistic rendition. Thank you so much for that. For that. And I think that with that, you know, we've kind of reached the end of our discussion of The Duke Gets Desperate. I definitely recommend you check it out. I feel like this would be a really fun book for you and your book club to read, especially if it's a romance book club.
Thank you, Chris, for inviting me to be a part of this special episode with Only Lovers. I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to doing another one with you and maybe even Tosh and Drea.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me. I don't know why we haven't done this sooner. We have been reading the same books, but, you know, we've been busy, and I'm going to try to make this happen a little bit more often, so long as you've got the time to read and we'll find the time to record. That's going to be the end of this bonus episode. If you're wanting something a little bit longer, a little bit juicier with the rest of the lovers, we've got a whole playlist of hangouts for you to check out. We most recently discussed an angelic romance, an angelic monster romance, but we have other historical romance discussions if that's what you're here for. Got a little bit of everything. So go ahead and check it out, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
Thank you for making it to the end of our bonus episode and for spending some time with us. Hopefully after this you are just desperate to get your hands on The Duke Gets Desperate by Diana Quincy. You can support Only Lovers Book Club for free by subscribing to our shows and sharing our episodes. Make sure to like the video if you're on YouTube, or leave us a comment, and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also become a supporter on Ko-fi or buy some books from our bookshop. All of these links are in the description box. You can follow us on Instagram at Only Lovers Book Club.